5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Is this after my favorite subreddits? So we've already announced that I'm pregnant on the last episode.
Woo!
So it's
on the subreddits you announce it?
Yeah.
So you say I'm pregnant and then you read Long Island subreddits?
Uh-huh.
Hi, welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and we have a very special guest with us today, Angela Giratani. Tana?
Giratana. You know my last name.
Giratana. Giratana.
Ghirardelli.
Right?
Ghirardelli.
No. How do you say it?
Guys, I'm nervous for this.
Yeah?
We've done a lot of things on Smosh that's vulnerable.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
Today we are diving into our IMDb's, which if you're not familiar with IMDb, it's just a list of all of our acting credits.
A little like LinkedIn, but for actors, in a sense that anything you've ever touched, they could put on there.
Yeah.
And list it in an official way.
And you might not have any say of what's put on there. You might not have any say of what's written on there, too.
That's true. It's kind of like Wikipedia, where people go and they can do stuff.
They can do stuff.
So there might be stuff that's inaccurate. We'll correct it here. Are you okay? You're looking around a lot.
I haven't been on...
You looking at the set?
Have you not been on the new set? This is crazy.
Wait, what?
Shane.
It's been a long time since you've been on, huh?
Yeah, it's been a hot second. This is crazy.
Harambe. Look at that.
IMDb. That is crazy.
You know, what's weird is, every time behind Shane, there is an RIP grave in the pool behind
never
him.
Never forget.
Literally never forget. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, welcome back.
But thank you so much. Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't trying to change the subject
really
or anything.
But you're really nervous looking at attracting credits.
I think this is like, I don't know, for like people who aren't in this industry, I'd say that like early on, you kind of want to say yes to just anything and everything.
Always.
And that's like how you get your foot in the door. And so having like a roster of every single thing you've ever done sometimes is pretty, it's and during the pandemic, me and my friends made some wild, weird stuff just to just feel something.
Yeah, man. Same.
And then you put it on IMDb. My friends would put it on IMDb so you have like a lot of credits.
Yeah.
But then at some point, it's just like, it's like an underwear drawer where it's like, it's accumulating some like weird shit.
It's like, remember when you would do acting class and they're like, guys, get in student films to make your reel. And you were like, absolutely.
And terrible. Like, and then people find it and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
I know.
No, but that's kind of how it goes. I mean, when you start, it's so hard to find any work that when work comes your way, you're like, yeah, you got to do it.
And a reel is your life.
You also want to practice.
Acting. Yeah.
You know, like you don't, it's like, that's what makes it such a weird job is it's a job where like you don't get to do your job when you want
to. You need permission to do it.
Yeah.
Like as an artist, you have to be granted, like how a guitarist could just pick up a guitar and play guitar. Like, you can pick up a monologue and do it, but like you need to be given the like permission.
What also, we're kind of the last era, I think, of actors before like social media is what it is now, where you can now make content online so easily, right? Like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. You can be making sketches, you can be making shorts and just putting them out there. when I first started acting, there was no,
no.
means exactly, of putting yeah. anything out there. You had to hope that someone was making something and you got on board with it.
100%.
Whereas nowadays, yeah, like we're making stuff all the time. I could go home and make a short film in my home tonight if I wanted
yeah.
to.
I mean, I think actors are still kind of doing it, but we're kind of phasing out of it where like actors have a website where it lists all their credits and mm-hmm. stuff and then their IMDb.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like your socials. You
your social media kind of has replaced it.
And resumes aren't really a big like there are so many things that aren't big anymore, like postcards, bringing your headshot and resume stapled yeah. to the back. That doesn't really exist anymore.
No. I went in for a musical, I want to say like a year and a half ago.
Oh,
and someone was like,
asked for that.
You have to print your headshot and resume. And I was like, what are we in the 50s?
Yeah. Theater, definitely with like theater shit, I feel like they still do that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You have to have it printed out.
Funny.
And then your resume is just like things you list. It's just so funny because
yeah.
our digital footprint now is a bigger, even if you're not an online person, I think it's a bigger
online.
Indication of what you do.
Yeah.
And so now they have these like sites where agents and all that and casting directors go to these sites and you already have everything there. You have like your measurements, your face, clips, resume, that's still a thing.
There's also a bio that I don't know who cultivates the bio, but we'll get into it because they're funny.
Yeah.
Oh, for IMDb?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's got all of our facts and everything.
It's kind of like we're going through like old lockers that we haven't opened. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? They're just like old fashioned and they're...
I guess first what we should do
is... Oh, yeah, I did not write this.
We should go through and make sure... that all the information is correct.
should we?
My bio, Shane Topp was born on 14 September 1991 in Florida, USA. He is an actor and writer known for Dear Lemon Lima, the big What If, which was a series we did back in 2016 on Smosh, and Every Blank Ever.
Every Blank Ever. Yeah, I know that series.
I know
Huge.
That series. Wow. That so you're at a party, right? And you're like, oh, what's your name? And you're like, well, I know that guy. What's that guy from?
Every
and you
Domino's
Google him
Ever.
And you go, oh, he's from Lemon Lima.
All right, guys.
Dude.
Someone did something diabolical.
Did they go into
what?
Your bio?
Born September 14th, 1991. Height, 5'2 and a half.
That's not true.
That's... Someone said that I am 5'2" and a half.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, there's plenty of people.
There's nothing yeah. wrong with
Shakira's
that.
Shakira's 4'11", you're right there.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not true. I don't like that
Shane,
that misinformation is out
you
there.
You don't tell lies here. So how tall are you?
I'm not 5'2" and a half.
Can I guess how tall you are?
I think
Ooh, maybe I shouldn't.
You know how tall I am.
Do I?
Yeah.
5'8", 5'9".
I think I'm somewhere between 5'7 and 5'8.
I was going to say 5'8.
I didn't know exactly how tall you were.
How tall are you?
6 feet. And they got that right. Let me tell you that. They wrote 6 feet. 1.3.
They wrote it in all caps.
Meters. Yeah. 6 feet. Huge, big.
Huge. Yeah.
That's all it says next to height.
Amanda Caff and Leanne Canto. Huge bitch.
Saying I'm represented by I'm a huge bitch. Okay, wow. Let me see my bio.
Yeah, read your bio. Because mine only says mini bio. Is there a larger bio that I'm supposed to be aware of?
I also have trivia.
Shut
up. This website is crazy.
You have trivia? I want trivia. That's the thing about IMDb, guys, is you don't add anything to it. It gets added for you. I want trivia. Okay, now I'm jealous.
Sorry.
I'll read my mini bio. Amanda Leigh-Hann Canto is known for Reopening, which is a full improvised movie that I did.
Whoa.
Smosh. Yeah, it was
okay.
really fun.
Wait, that's cool.
I was at the Groundlings and I played a stage director.
Okay.
And she was a hoot. And Bigfoot Famous, which
Whoa.
Is a movie that Steph did.
Okay.
She has been married to Gorodze Perepechka since May 4th, 2023.
Is that correct, the date?
Yeah, that is correct.
There you go.
That's a little wild. And then my only family is my spouse.
That's
thank
your
God.
Only family.
And
agreed.
Thank God. Keep it clean like that.
Keep it clean.
Angela Giratina was born October 1st, 1993 in Santa Clara. That's not true.
Okay, that's good.
She is known for Minx, ABC Discovers, and Maggie. We'll get into all
Look
of these.
Look at that.
All right.
Maggie.
And we're off to the fucking races.
And we're off to
also,
the races.
And then you go and you scroll lower and it goes, other people that have clicked on her. And then you see like Courtney You see, this website is weird, man. It's like a weird Google.
It's not really organized super well, if I could be completely honest.
It's like covered in ads these days.
Yeah.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Oh. Beginning at the beginning.
Let's go all the way to the beginning.
What was everyone's first job they ever did? Like, first official project.
This
like,
is vulnerable. But here's the thing. I know this isn't my first job.
What do you mean?
Like, I've...
It's like, what's listed?
Oh, that's okay. If it's not on there, then...
I've done...
Because there's... I noticed that something that I did isn't on here, and I'm kind of shocked.
Same. Yeah. Like, there was stuff that I did that was before this. But I guess mine was a... It was a TV miniseries, and I know fans know about it because they've been commenting about it recently. 2016... I was just in this guy's series, super sweet guy. It's called Lonely Together.
Okay.
And it was really fun, but I remember it being like a very big acting thing. Like, it was like his face, my face, his face, my
Whoa.
Face.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was a short or a web
series? Think it was a short. I haven't rewatched it in forever.
I haven't watched a lot of stuff.
But I remember really enjoying it.
How long after you had moved out here did you get that?
I think that was like 3 years. Because I was doing student films and people's shorts. Like, right when I got out here, I did that. And then I met Steph and we did Vine like a year and a half in to being here. And that's what I was doing a lot. I was doing a lot of Vine and a lot of Instagram videos. And then YouTube stuff. And then from that, that's where this guy found me.
That's cool.
And then we did Lonely Together.
What was your first student film or short film? Like, how soon, like, you moved out here and like how soon did you do a project, you know, on it?
No, I talked about this one.
Okay.
I did a student film and it was the scene from Erin Brockovich.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And someone,
wait, I have to see.
Remember, someone found the footage and I cannot bring myself to watch it because it was such a weird experience for me.
Wait, is it the one where she's doing the monologue and she's like,
it's the one where she's like, they're boobs, Ed, or whatever.
Oh,
and she's
that
like,
one.
Going around. I think she might be doing the monologue. I can't remember which scene.
We have to do Erin Brockovich sometime.
I love
Just
Erin
for
Brockovich.
Fun. It's my favorite.
It's so good. But here's the thing, and I learned this the hard way. The student, I was like, he wasn't giving me enough direction. And I had already been working with Steph forever, and we were always directing each other. So I like kind of got in trouble because I'm like an actor and I came on the student film and it's in the college and they have like a whole setup and there was an older professor like overwatching the whole thing. And this guy is like really, really shy, really awkward. He's like, and I was like, do you want me to just sit over here? Cause I can just sit over here and I'll probably like play with the files and I'll probably like grab the files. And if I could like, I'll be a little bit rude here. And the professor was this older guy who was like super LA. He was like, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I was brand new to LA and I was like, yeah, sure. What's up? Like thinking we were going to collab. And he was like, don't give the director notes ever. This is not your project. And I remember being like, and I was like,
that's.
And then you turned into Erin Brockovich.
And then I literally
went, what? That boobs, Ed.
I became Erin Brockovich.
That's wild.
But I remember that was like my first like no. And I will say it definitely I definitely have were on was on set like Yes, ma'am. For like a few years.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard when you're making your own videos a bunch because you're
totally.
Constantly directing each other. You're like, oh, do this, do this.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I know exactly your vision. Here, let me work on this. But then it was just like, but I get it. He's a professor.
It's truly like one of those things where you only, the more you're on set, the more you understand the line of the chain of command and stuff. And if you aren't, you can like, I used to with my best friend, she was a production designer. And I think I've talked about this. I used to like be her second and assist her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so obvious to me, the people who hadn't been like, and we would just do like short films a lot most of the time.
Yeah.
And you would see like people who don't know kind of what to do.
Yeah.
And I was that as well. And the only way to do it is still keep going and showing
up.
You
have to keep doing it.
But it was like an actor would ask me like, where can I get a water? Or like, and I was like, oh, that's not my department. You know what I mean? And being like, oh, you learn like kind of each department, who talks to who.
Yeah.
But it's when you're young, you're like, I don't know, especially when you're doing short films. Most of the time it's like,
but it was like, so not the right thing for me to do. And did I learn that lesson early? Mm. And it was like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
A fucking actor's like, oh yeah, I'll just do this. And you do this. Da, da, da. And of course, like the director, that's the thing, is you can only learn that shit
By doing it
and being on set and having those weird moments.
It's why I feel like I see this pattern where when people come out and they become like overnight successes very quickly, they're often the ones who are like, I hear, are awful to work with, right? Because they come out here and they don't learn anything. Whereas like the Steve Carells of the world, you only hear that they're the nicest, but he was acting for like 20 years or so before he even started working a lot.
Or it's like, I don't know, some of my favorite people all started out as PAs.
Yeah.
And I used to PA because I was just obsessed with like being around it and seeing it.
See, that's smart, Angela.
No, but it's hard and you get paid fucking nothing.
But you see, I think it's so smart as an actor to like see everything that's going on, and you're not an actor, you're just on set, because on set is a totally different vibe.
Especially like when you go to school for theater, like I was like, I had no idea what a DP does when I was like, all I was working on was like my freaking body awareness, you know what I mean? It's like so different.
Being
in
your body and monologues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. And like when you start acting, you think about it like it's going to be on stage, and you watch movies and you're like, oh, wow, I could do this. But then you forget that like when you're on set, you're delivering your lines to a piece of tape on the side of a camera. You're not actually delivering your lines to another person.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of taking like pieces of a line and saying it. You're not getting to perform. You're kind of just doing these weird.
Your direction is hitting your mark in the exact part of the camera. Turn your body a little bit. Yeah. Wardrobe's at you. Makeup's coming in. And then you deliver your line. Like, all right, moving on.
But then here's my thing, is because if we're going back to the beginning of our filmography here, there's indie filmmaking, which is so different. Especially in the hands of young 20-year-olds. And you are doing everything.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
You are like, I have so many stories of so many short films I've done where it's like you're using someone's house and they go, you can't use our trash bins.
Uh-huh.
So you have everyone's crafty and you have to put the trash in your car. And then you gotta drive somewhere that says do not dump, and you gotta dump.
Yep.
And you gotta run for your life.
Yep.
Because you have all this trash. Like, it's just like little things that people don't realize where you're like, oh yeah. Like, the amount of times I said I would run sound, and I was like, and the only thing I had to do was listen to see. Yeah, I'm like, it was just like, oh, this is blah, blah, blah's kit, and just make sure you don't hear anything. So you'd be like, I think I heard a plane.
Which is crazy.
Let's take that again. You don't know if you're peeking. You don't know.
It's huge.
And then we would just like all drop the cards to the one guy who knows how to do everything and be like, Here you go.
And they're like, thanks. And you're like, okay. And it's been 18 hours, like a 30-minute break, and all the fucking crafty is bread.
The amount of times I did
candy.
Production design and sound at the same time, and I would hold the moon and be like, I don't know if I'm getting it.
Yep.
That's so funny.
Yep.
And there's like, there's just so many like hours of that.
No, it's
hours.
Always a journey. Every single film is a trash fire at some point.
Yeah.
Like, there's never an indie film that doesn't have
it's not smooth, really,
no,
ever.
No, it's insane every time.
Yeah, and we're talking about like, I think with indie films, it's like, sure, it's like, we're not talking about Marvel movies, but we're also talking about like like student films, like people who are like, okay, I have a budget of $100 or I want to make this for fun. Or yeah. It is kind of, when I hear like young YouTubers and creators, it is the closest thing that I go, oh, I remember like when I would do everything with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is kind of the medium. Yeah.
It's also super satisfying to like do everything, edit it all, and then put it together. And you're like, holy shit, we did this for like less than $100.
Right.
But you do so much. And then when you finally, if you are lucky enough to get to a set and you're like, it takes a village.
Oh my God.
To run this one scene.
Yeah.
And everyone has specific jobs and you're like, whoa.
It's
you're like, hey,
huge.
I've held the boom before. What's up? And you're just
or
like,
there's like
God.
Nothing like when you do your first short or you do shorts and then you watch it in the edit and you go, what?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What is that? It's really hard.
Yeah.
What was your first project? Like that wasn't just like, oh, I'm making this with some friends. Like, do you remember like the first one you went on?
When I was 12, I was like an iMovie girly and I was like doing a bunch of stuff on iMovie. So it's hard to find like what's like my first thing.
Like what was the first thing you auditioned for and got?
Whoa.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's kind of like, you know, because yeah, I think most actors do make a bunch of stuff with friends, but like, do you
what's
remember
the first
your
thing
first?
I auditioned for and got?
Is that not on your IMDb?
Oh, when did you start auditioning?
My first, this is actually kind of lame. Okay, here are the first two. That's funny. I did an audition before I went to UCLA. I had met a casting director through my mom's church.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
And I was like, hi. And I was about to go to UCLA. And she was just being sweet and being nice. And she was just like, and I was just asking her questions. And I emailed her and I asked her to get coffee. And this was like before I was like,
wow.
Really knew anything.
You're like 14.
I'm like truly like 17 being like, haha. Wow, it's so nice to meet you. And I must have just been so fucking annoying that she was like, I'll send her out for one thing. And that was my Two Broke Girls hipster number two.
I think she didn't just send you out for one thing. She was probably sending you out.
No, that was it was one thing, and I had to. And I remember like printing out the sides, and I had to say vagina, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy." And then I got SAG eligible from that. But then that was like, it's never like that. Because then after that, it was a dark, dark hole. My next credit, which was my next audition that I remember. And sometimes people find this and just drop it. Just drop it. It was a Discovery ID show.
Okay.
Where those shows reenact crime.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, fun.
Cool.
Not fun.
What happened to you in this crime?
It was one of those, like, you're not speaking. And it was like, and then Miranda goes and kills her boyfriend. So we weren't, like, rolling sound. You were just doing interactions.
Were you Miranda?
I was this, like, weird killer girl. Don't even want to bring that much attention to it because it's so bad and embarrassing. But that's like what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
It's like bad shit. And I remember
watching reenactments.
Me too. And it's now I watch so them funny. And I'm like, I love all those actors. Those actors are hardworking.
Yeah.
But that was my next one. I'm trying to think. Honestly, after that, it was like short film mania, which I could talk about forever because me and my friends got addicted to these things called these 24-hour film festivals, 48
hours.
Yeah.
Where you don't sleep and you fucking write it and then shoot it and then put it together. They're so insane.
That is like,
you actually kind of make good shit in a weird way.
Yeah.
You really do. Wait, what's your first credit?
My first one is back in Arizona. I got an agent because I like did it.
Bingo.
Arizona.
Bingo.
Stop. And it's not me. No.
It's me.
Ha.
Guys, bingo has happened.
Ha.
Real quick. Sorry to interrupt.
Ha.
Shane.
Whoa.
I got you for bingo.
Hell yeah.
Arizona was the last one that I needed.
I had to mention Arizona.
Yeah.
And it happened.
So what I have is looks to the side when something crazy gets brought up.
Okay.
I always do. Arizona mentioned, so funny, but not actually laughing.
You do
so
that
funny.
A lot.
Yeah.
To me.
To everyone.
A sports reference. We've said it some.
Of course.
Some
of course.
And then covers your face with your hands. You do that.
I do that
you do that a lot. Yeah.
All right.
Oh my God. Wow.
Bingo.
I'm shocked you got bingo before me.
Bingo. And
beat you.
I'm sure I've missed some just because like it's a lot to keep track of, but yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby. So what does that mean?
Nothing. It's funny.
Guys, Shane got bingo before me and I feel like incredible right now.
I can't believe it. Shane got bingo, so now he has to shit in a cup.
Shit in a cup.
I don't know.
You have to shit in a cup now,
dude. What does that mean? It means you have to shit in a cup.
Because you mentioned Arizona.
So back in Arizona. My acting career kind of like happened out of nowhere and it like happened fast, right? Because I was not into acting whatsoever. And then in fifth grade, we did a play. We did Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I was the only one who auditioned for Willy Wonka. And it was just in a classroom.
Okay.
And I loved it. I had so much fun. I've mentioned this before, how we wanted to do the play in the auditorium, like a school would.
Yeah.
And our principal said, there's no educational merit to theater. And so,
give us his address.
We'll find him for you.
So we did it in the classroom, just in a tiny little classroom. We did the whole play.
What? A fucking loser.
You can't do a play in a classroom.
We managed.
You can play anywhere, Amanda.
But I had so much fun doing it. I became obsessed with it. And then afterwards, you know, people were like, oh, you should get him into theater. He's like, he seems to love this. And I was a very quiet kid. Like, I was not like some big loud entertainer, but I got really into it, and they got me into a community theater play, and then I did one community theater play, and then it was like, oh, we'll get you into an acting class. And it happened to just so be an acting class that was very like audition and film focused and improv. So I just like by accident they diverted me into like this type of stuff. And this is back in 2003, right? But they would have a camera in the class and they were teaching you how to like act in front of a camera and how to do auditions and things.
Whoa.
And also were doing improv. And they quickly were like, oh, you should get him an agent. You should have him go. And so like within like a year of doing that classroom play, I then was like getting an agent and auditioning. So I went from never acting in my life to that. And I went out for... this has never happened since, right? This guy gave me the wrong impression of the industry. I had first two auditions I went out for, I booked.
Dude.
Now, granted,
I mean, same, but
this is part of why, like, I don't recommend it. I don't promote this, but like they say, like the whole gist of why they motivate people to take their kids out to be actors is that it's a lot easier to book work when you're a kid because there's less competition. And they don't expect you to have credits and a resume when you're 13 years old. And I was in Arizona, so it was an even smaller market. So I booked the first two jobs that I got. One was a student film, which was crazy. We filmed like a bunch of scenes, and then like it was like a year later we filmed a couple more, right?
Okay, of course.
And I look back, and at the time I was just like, you know what? This is acting. There's a scene where they have like a gun pointed at me, and I'm like, yeah, there was really no like safety on that
and
set.
You were like a kid.
I was just a kid, and it was just like, all right, we have a scene where like this guy's gonna point a gun at you, and I'm just like, all right, like,
dude.
And I'm wild. Like, okay, yeah, I probably should have thought about that a little more.
Damn,
I survived.
Yeah.
But then the other movie I booked was this movie called Moon Pie, which had several actors from Mad TV in it, and it was directed
Mad TV.
So it was directed by Drake Doremus, who later directed the movie Like Crazy in 2011. It was a movie with it had Anton Yelchin, Felicity Jones, Jennifer Lawrence.
Geez.
Yeah, so like he was but this was his debut as a director.
Whoa.
And but this movie had like Michael McDonald and Stephanie Weir from Mad TV.
Like Crazy.
Whoa.
I remember that.
But anyway, so I was a huge Mad TV fan. And so then I booked this movie with Michael McDonald, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm
Holy
working
shit,
with
yeah.
This is so cool. But I was like a small, like weird bully character.
Yeah.
And I am in like a class, like an elementary school classroom. And my character is just so much older than everyone else that it's really, really stands out and is funny. But I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was my first like movie working on. And it was like a, you know, an independent low budget film, but pretty friggin' big for like a first project.
Yeah, yeah. Michael McDonald was huge.
Yeah, but what was funny, like my first experience with acting was, okay, we're gonna drive to set. And it was like a good like hour and a half from our house in Arizona. So we drive out there and it's the middle of summer, so it's blazing hot.
Yeah.
We get there at 6 a.m. call time. And I'm there and like, you know, just kind of random crafty. We're just hanging out. There's a lot of kids on set. And I was there until, I want to say, like 6 p.m. And I never got used that day.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this is my first experience with acting, is like sitting on set for 12 hours on a day and then being like, we didn't get to your scene. I'm like, okay, like, chill. And that's acting.
Yes,
I mean, it's that famous quote of like, they pay me to wait.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, but then eventually I got to do my scenes and very silly. I look back on those and I cringe for sure. Cause I'm like, I do not know how to act
it's
yet.
It's so hard.
I have no experience. They just threw me on a set. But that was, those were the only two jobs I did in Arizona. And then very quickly it was like, oh, go out to pilot season in LA.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Talking about like your first acting jobs, I'm like, oh, of course. I did, like, my first acting wasn't to Broke Girls. It was a bunch of plays and schools
right.
and stuff.
But I hardly did. And
that's wild.
So it's really weird. Like, it just, so many people were motivating my parents and me to be like, oh, you should do this. You should do this. And so I think within like 2 years of doing my very first play in a classroom, I then was going out to LA and auditioning for stuff in LA.
You were just thrown into the deep end. I do think that the time in the industry is like, of course, you always go like, damn, I wish this opportunity came when I just knew a little bit more. But that's not how it happens.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't bother with like thinking about what I would have done differently, but it would have been fun for it to be my own journey. Like, I definitely, anyone asking or anyone who would ever say like, oh, I'm thinking about getting my kids into it, I would say like, no, like, let them do it on their own someday. And also, but now we're also in such a different beast where it's like, hey, like, kids are just making their own content and like making their own sketches and short films. Like, you can just... Even as an adult, I would say, like, you honestly might just want to make your own stuff right now.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, I'm grateful that I got to just, like, mess around and you didn't have to, like, show up for work. Because I was, like, making a lot of weird, weird stuff on iMovie.
And I later on...
I love iMovie.
And obviously later on, I was
of course,
able to do some
of course.
That.
But I think
this
just
is
as
how
like
it started.
Kid, yeah.
As it started, was so intense, like, to go and it's... It's so intense. And the child actor world coming out here and like me and all these other 14-year-olds who are all saying like, yeah, we need to make it by the time we're 18.
Ugh.
Like, the goal is to become successful by the time you're 18. I'm like, dude, oh my God. I look
so
back and I'm like,
pressure.
I'm like, what was that mindset? I'm like, oh my God. I'm, you know, because now I'm like, oh, I'm 33. And I'm like, you know, I think it's normal to be still working your way up in your
100%.
Career at 33.
I think
you always are. But I'm like, at 14 to think like, by 18, you got to make
your
it.
Your shelf and then, life is till
and
then.
And then you turn 18. And it was, you have adults telling you, like, yeah, like, you need to try to get some credits by the time. To having adults pressure you is such a weird thing as a teenager that child actors experience on such a crazy level.
Yeah.
And I don't think I experienced it nearly as bad as a lot of people. I think, you know, so many of the girls I knew.
Yeah, no.
Like, dude, it is brutal.
Because you believe adults. When you're a kid, you're like, well, yeah, of course, I have to do that thing. And then you miss out on so much of, like, your weird, quirky childhood where you're figuring shit out and, like, having crushes. And
It's awful. And, you know, I know in high school and middle school, like, you have your peers commenting and critiquing your body and so much stuff. But to see, like, when I was a teenager, to see all these teenage girls and guys having, like, adults, like, critiquing how you look. Yeah. And they're not your parents. They're not even relatives. They're just people. And they're critiquing you not in, like, a bullying, trying to make you, just in a fully, like, just telling you something as a business person. It's like, no wonder so many end up so messed up later on in life.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Awful.
Wow.
But anyways, those are my first. Those were before I moved out to LA.
Wow.
So those are my very first jobs I worked on.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Which gave me a very misguided idea of how the industry was going to work, because I was like, whoa, went out for two auditions, I booked them.
Yeah.
Obviously, I moved out to LA, and then I was like, oh, I'm not going to be booking much at all. Well,
going from Arizona to LA,
it's different a market.
Totally different market.
And that was the thing to realize, is like, oh, you're the hot shot of Glendale, Arizona, but like, you're going to move out to LA, and everybody's the hot shot from their town, from wherever they've moved from.
Wow, I unfortunately got to the point of mine. I'm in the short film part.
Hell yes.
So am I.
Hell yes.
Why?
All shorts where I'm like, oh, yeah.
And you go, I forgot about that long afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you were just like, the whole day, you're like, oh, God.
What's something of note?
Okay, so I was talking about those 48-hour film festivals.
Yeah.
Me and my friends, we were obsessed. And it was like, to the point where I remember being like, oh, like, I think it's because, so what they are is like, it's like a film festival. It's like a challenge where they're like, okay, here's the subject, or here's a line of dialogue you have to put into your film. And now here's 48 hours. And by the end of these 2 days, you have to deliver a film, and then you get to watch them all.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people just do them on their own, or like big festivals where then you get to watch them all in like a movie theater or whatever. And me and my friends got addicted to it because it's like, you can't sit and think. You can't be like, oh, it was like right before the pandemic, I want to say.
Yeah.
And we were like, it was still like every piece of art and every choice you make is like so important, rather than like quantity over quality, right? And we did our first one called, oh my God, I will never forget. It was in the pandemic. So we were like, we can't be together. We have to, but me and all my friends wanted to write something, but we were like, we should not separate. So I remember it being like, what can we write that is people on the phone? And I wrote this crazy thing with my friend called, and it was called Chloe Mary Lydia.
Okay.
To sound like chlamydia. And it was about a phone call that just kept going through different people who have hooked up, being like, did you give me chlamydia?
That's awesome.
Wow.
And we got to shoot it because just the camera girl and our sound guy just went to everyone's house outside, filmed it. And then
smart, actually. That's kind of smart.
But then it made me and my friends addicted that specific group. Uh-huh. And we started to make stuff like constantly that summer.
That's great.
And it was like every week we made something new.
That's awesome.
But now I look back at them and I'm like, what were we thinking? There is a short film that I actually am very proud of it. And I wrote it with my friends and we did it in 48 hours and it's called The Haunting of Dolly Parton.
Oh, this
and
sounds
I actually like stand by this being like, this is actually has pretty good legs. But the whole thing is like put together with scotch tape. My grandmother had just taken a mighty fall and had to be moved into had to be moved into a living facility that was like full-time care. And it was like, okay, we have to move grandma out of her little shoebox apartment. And before we were moving her out, I was like, is this just empty? And it was a spooky house.
You're like, how can I
a spooky apartment
from this?
Yeah. And I was like, what if me and my friends went in there and made cinema? And we went in there
amazing.
And absolutely trashed it. When I tell you, we put blood everywhere. Fake blood.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because we wrote a horror. Because it was like,
wait,
the genre we were given. I'll send it to you guys. I actually think it's really good. It was a horror, and that was the subject. They give you each a genre, and we were given horror. And I knew nothing about horror movies, and me and my friends wrote it, and we were like, what if this woman's obsessed with Dolly Parton, and then she gets haunted by 1,000 of them, and then all of our friends get to play Dolly?
Wait, that's pretty sick.
I love that.
I actually stand by it, but my grandma's house was her apartment.
Were you able to clean it?
Yeah, and then me and my friends cleaned it for like 4 days after, but I don't know why we thought, let's trash it. And then I was like, oh my God, guys, there's blood, fake blood all over the carpet. We have to clean this up.
Did she own this apartment or rent it?
No, she rented it.
No.
I actually don't remember the details, but like I had to clean it for weeks.
Dude.
And I like trashed
it. That would stress me out. But it probably looked sick.
And that was in the phase where I learned that everything you could return from Amazon, you could return everything bought from Amazon. So I bought like 15 Dolly wigs.
You're still in that phase.
I returned anyway. So
that's incredible,
dude.
So that was like one of the earlier
projects. We also wrote another thing about a girl who died, and we and all of her friends go to her funeral and wanted to change her outfit in her casket because her outfit was bad.
That's so funny you say that, because I have a short film that I made with some people, with Damien and some other people, that is of a similar kind of plot.
They're always like one location.
Wait, okay, so we'll get to this later, but I'll tell you about it now, just because that's so funny. We have a short film that Damien, another friend of mine, a couple of other friends of mine, we made, where we come home and our roommate has left us a note letting us know that he has ended his life.
Okay.
And we're all reading it and we go, oh my God, this has so many spelling errors and stuff. And then it's a montage of us like punching it up, being like, we should punch it up with that. Like, oh, we're like, it's called rewrites. And it's us like rewriting this whole thing. At the end, he walks out because he hasn't done it. And he's like, what is wrong with you guys? And
then, oh my God.
I forget specifically how it ends, but but I'm like, it's like dark, very dark humor.
Very dark. And I think when you're like young, you're like, this is hilarious. Yes, one location.
We took an apartment. One fucking joke.
We took my friend's bookcase and we laid it down and made it a casket and had our friend lay in this bookcase. And then we were all like, this is so sad. She looks really ugly, doesn't she? And then we change her clothes.
Wait, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
That's so classic.
Release
like
the shorts.
Young short film where you're like, totally. It's dark comedy.
It's also of that era, because I want to say this was like 2014.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That we did ours, and it's just like, I don't know. That was just the vibe.
Super dark comedy.
But
it is so funny.
Dude,
what
like, I love that.
What people think of when they're like, okay, we have a living room. What can we do?
Well, 48 hours is... I remember we did 48-hour short films, and one time we did a 48-hour full-hour sketch show. I don't know if you remember this. It was when Second City was still there.
Yeah.
And was it Second City? Wait, what was the other
one by Popeyes?
What was the other? It was I.O.
Yeah.
And they had a 24-hour sketch fest, and we had to write a one-hour sketch show. And... This was what got me onto the 48-hour short film.
Sounds like a TNTL.
It was first the sketch show, and it was, you had to stay up all night. And I remember we did like Scooby-Doo like talk show or some shit. And I played, of course, Scooby.
Oh, yeah.
Who barely
talks. You're very Scooby-coated.
Who barely talks. And I remember being like.
Of course I played Scooby.
And
of course,
you know,
I played Scooby.
Your family's checking in on you, the lead. Your family's checking in and you're like, mom, it's crazy. I can't talk right now. I've been up for 24 hours and I'm Scooby. So, and then you go and you perform it after
I'm imagining you
hours.
On the phone with your mom, and your mom's like, how's the acting career in LA going? Cut over to you, painted over, dressed like Scooby-Doo. It's going really good, mom. You know, we're really cranking some good work out.
It was years of that. It still
That's
is.
Still what we're doing.
I mean, it's, you know. Like, I'm a fucking spud. I'm like a potato.
You're so right. It's the same thing.
Over 12 years in LA and I'm a fucking spud.
After everything I've done in this industry and especially on Smosh, I've realized I'm like, nobody can ever blackmail me because like I've done everything to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I was like talking about embarrassing things on here. I'm like, if someone finds the footage of me on a Discovery ID show, like, good luck, bury me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna take that. Like, when someone finds your weird, disgusting, cringe videos of you, you're like, okay, man, there's a mountain of those.
I saw there was a short of me on Sid and Olivia's podcast where we're all doing our makeup, mm-hmm. and I'm like sitting there doing my like makeup on it, and some of the comments were like, "Wow, he's so comfortable with his like masculinity and stuff." I'm like, "Do you know the shit I've done online? Like, there's a million videos you could find of me doing way cringier shit than this.
Yeah.
Like,
so true.
I cannot be embarrassed anymore."
I remember on Facebook telling friends, "Please untag me because I don't look cute in that picture."
Of course,
we are so past that. We are.
Pick a thumbnail.
Like, literally pick anything.
That is actually true.
Pick a thumbnail.
There was one recent thumbnail of you that me and Tommy, of you specifically, that me and Tommy were like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Smosh Pit Theater where I'm like,
you don't look like yourself.
Wait, put it next to me.
You don't look like yourself. You look like a cartoon dad from like the Jetsons, and it's not good.
It's incredible.
You look like you've been sitting
Anyways,
on the couch for
months. We are emotionally bulletproof
like,
at this
truly.
Point.
Truly.
I will say, I'm going back on these credits, and I'm pretty proud of myself. Like,
yeah, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of shit.
Okay, the only thing that I think is embarrassing, I guess it's not embarrassing, is what's the oldest date on your credits?
Oldest date?
Like, Moon Pie... Yeah, this was when it was released, but 2006.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I'm missing some things because my oldest one is 2016, which doesn't make any sense.
I'm so sorry.
Did you beat me?
No.
Were you in something as a kid?
I zoned out. I'm scrolling through. There's a part where it lists your roles, and it's like self, because I got to the Smosh part, and then it says bug 9 episodes.
Nice.
I'm like, when did I play a bug?
Okay. Oh,
no,
yeah,
I don't have anything.
Mine's Dolores Paradise for 9 episodes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I have Tater, 1 episode, the Spud Hut.
Wait, Smosh puts all your roles?
Yeah.
Lady D, Old Lady, Luigi, Ian's Date, Tinky Winky, Babe Ruth. What? The yeah. Public student.
People are putting that shit
My
on
My earliest
there.
Thing is 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
Prime Minister?
My old ass, yeah. Working back in the Stone Age of 2006.
Working in film.
I love it.
What sucks is, so my second, my first job I ever booked in LA is not on here.
Oh.
But my first ever pilot season, I came out here and I was like, oh, I just want to, I hope I book something. And you know, it was either the first or second pilot season. There was a pilot season where I came out and I didn't book anything. Mm-hmm. And it felt like defeating. It was just like, oh, shit. But one of them, I booked a guest star on a show called Eli Stone. And it was just this random pilot. I think they cut my scene. It was just a flashback scene where I played like an older brother to the main mm-hmm. character. But it was terrifying.
Yeah.
And it was cool to go do. And it was just like, whoa, I'm booking work in L.A. This is
whoa.
So crazy. But I did that. And then I didn't book anything for like a couple of years. And then I moved out here in 2007.
You did the thing for real.
We were like, we need to move out here. So we move out here in 2007. And after a couple months was when I booked iCarly. And that felt huge.
I mean, it is huge.
Because in everything I had done up until that point was like very small little roles where I don't have like scenes, you know, where I just kind of have lines here and there. So this was the first time where I had like a scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still pretty small. It's a small guest starring part, but it's still like, oh, you're going to be in the opening scene of this episode and you're going to talk with the main character and you have like a whole bunch of lines here. And it was absolutely terrifying.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was there for the whole week of that episode and it was just a lot.
That's so wild.
See, but I don't know. It was more terrifying for me because I remember the first time I had like multiple scenes and it was like, oh, this is scary and cool. It's the one lines that I would, it's like
they
how the triangle
lot.
Player
yep.
is
They're
the most
lot.
Nervous in the orchestra when you have the least to do.
It's true.
I remember I had one line on this sitcom that I don't think ever went, no, it did. It was called Call Your Mother with Rachel Sennett.
Whoa.
Oh.
And yeah, who was on it? There were so many famous people on it. I had one line. I just had to like say happy anniversary. And my God, I was in the back going like,
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And you're there for hours.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. It was so hard.
Wait, side question. Can I ask, what, if ever, do you remember like your first audition where you're like, that went horrible?
Yeah.
I bombed that audition so bad.
I would say I had one that wasn't my first audition. It was when I had been auditioning for years, and it was a really, really bad day. It was a, I still think about it and I cringe so hard. Luckily, the casting director was like, it's all good. Let's just forget this ever happened. Whoa. And she brought me back in again.
Oh, that's a sweet
But
friend.
It was, I still, it, you know, when you like wake up in the middle of the night and you're just like, it still comes to me.
Oh, really?
It was after I'd already been auditioning for a while. It was for Barry, season one.
Whoa.
Season one. And it was supposed to be a detective. No, sorry, season two. So the
you would have been a detective.
The original detective who they made an older woman was they had like younger people. It was a big role, and I fucking prepped so hard for it, but too hard. Where I think I lost my mind. I think my soul went away.
I know
and
exactly
my mind
what
took
you're
over,
talking
and
about.
I lost my mind. And I had been in for this woman before. They're super sweet. And I'd gone in and it was like her assistant and the other, it's two casting directors that work together. Her other casting director came in. Bombed isn't even the right word for how this audition went. It was, I wanted to be in a spaceship and never return to Earth. It was so bad. I had memorized the line so well that I wasn't there. I fucked it up. I was saying gibberish. I was like, yeah. I'm not kidding.
I know.
I came in and I was like, I feel it. Yeah, you.
Yeah, you. What?
I was like, yeah, you. Jim.
Wait, did the cat director like, look
the
at you? What?
The director went. and they went, all right, let's take that again. But the assistant was like trying not to laugh. And I was like, no, I'm not this person. So I was like, hey guys. God. I was like, yeah, don't worry. Like, I'll just do it again. Like, I don't know what happened then. Trying to make a joke. They didn't laugh. And I did it again. no, like jim. But I was like, I said the lines all fucked up. I was supposed to be like, what are you doing? What's going on with you? And I was like, you went over the fence. And I just said random words. I died. And then the casting director and the assistant burst out laughing. And the casting director went, I needed that. Oh my God. I needed that. That was really bad.
And you were like, she said that was really bad?
She's like, that was really bad. And I needed that.
Wait,
you didn't
kidding.
Get any of the lines right.
She said that was really
yeah.
bad.
And then they called me in again, like four more times.
Okay, that's...
And she was super sweet about it. And she was just like, it's all good. I was like, hey, so sorry about last time. But I almost never wanted to see her again. You know that feeling?
Oh my God, Amanda.
I genuinely was like, I should actually go back to the East Coast now.
You know what's so funny? Like, this is the thing. Like, auditioning sucks so much and you can just have a bad day because I'm sitting here thinking, and I know all of the people watching, like, you would have killed on Barry. Like, oh, you would have crushed
on that show. And she was so sweet. She was like, I want to find a role for you because you're so funny. But That, I mean, she should have never called me.
Jump off the fence, eh?
Jump off the fence, then.
Jump off the fence, eh?
The next audition I ever get for anything, I'm doing that.
No.
So what brings you here?
Hey,
with so much attitude is what makes it so funny.
I'm a cop.
And here's the thing. It was like someone, like your parents saw like talent. Someone was like, oh, I see this talent. You're going out for these big things. And I know for a fact I wasn't ready. It's like, if I went out then, I could have been like, hold on. Can I take a moment?
Yeah, my brain like, I'm so sorry. I need to go
but
back.
But then I was like, get through it a minute. Get through it.
Run a train through it.
Honestly, no, this reminds me of one of my first tapes I ever had. Whew, it's bad. It was, and honestly, it's kind of similar to a Barry where you go, I can't believe this was for this show. And I got close.
Uh-huh.
It was for the second season or the third season of Stranger Things.
What?
It was Maya Hawke's character, the ice cream. And I had
so good at that.
I think I even went to like, I think I had a callback, two callbacks. And my tape. Okay, so it was before I learned how to like do self tapes, and there weren't resources like there
are
now.
It's so hard.
Now it's like everyone just has like a thing, and they could put it up, and you could just do it, right?
Yeah.
Like a backdrop, and you just do it in your room.
But self taping back in the day sucked.
It was like I was like, what do I do? And I couldn't get anyone to do it with me, so my mom read it with me.
No.
Hell yes.
And I was like 24 years old.
Of course. And your mom was probably in it.
And I worked so hard on this, and it was the scene where she like has like a board, like it's like her famous scene, and
I think I remember.
And my mom botched it so bad. She jumps my line each time. She goes, oh, wait, all right, keep going. And then I'm like, you know, blah, 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 blah. She goes, oh, sorry.
They probably loved that. I don't know.
I think by that point, like, they know you're a good actor. It's just kind of a matter of vibes.
Oh, like, God. But honestly, it's one of those things where you're like, I can't believe I went out for an early season of this massive show.
And you're like, it's such a great opportunity, but the pressure of the show makes your body break.
It's awful.
Down.
I think it's I filmed really it like awful. On a dad cam. Like, I think I got one of those weird, like small, like, I don't even know what I did.
Did you do this thing where you wanted to get it done?
Oh, I just needed
I used to speed through my lines.
Speed through, which
auditions.
Is like, dude, I can take some time.
Yeah.
This is going to sound hilarious to people. My issue early on with auditioning was I would talk too fast, but I would also be so quiet.
Oh.
I was not good at, I was so like.
That makes sense though.
I was too loud.
That makes sense. I feel like people, I definitely peaked camera a lot. I'd be like, what did you say?
Hey, Dad. Get in here, Dad.
And then your eyeline, so you're trying to like choose this eyeline, and then you're like, then you choose a different eyeline, and then the other eyeline is way too far away.
You're like,
hey, get in here, Dad.
You're in the middle of a scene, you're like, what are you saying? And then there's a knock at the door. What's going on?
Why don't you guys try reading it with your husband, who English is a second language? And here's the thing, I love him actually. It's a good trust exercise in our relationship. He now reads with me, and it's actually really fun. But for years, he'd be like, what are you doing here? Here?
Honestly, for Barry, he'd be the perfect person to read against.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing?
Doing here? You don't know what you say here. I know. And I'd be like, mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Let's see what else I have.
But those obviously aren't credits on here, but... Also, my favorite, when you book, you literally are like, I don't know how that went. That to me is always when you book.
The auditions where I truly was like, this is not going to happen.
Yep.
My audition for the Goldbergs, I was like, that went bad. That sucked. I did one read. I read through once, and they're like, that's great. See ya. And I was like, okay. And then I left. I don't even think I got a callback. I think I was just like, I guess that one ended. And then it was just like, hey, you
straight
got it. And I was like, what? Like,
that's
so
wild.
Confusing because then you'll have like two callbacks for something. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, guys,
I'm gonna get it.
And then you kind of look back and you're like, I was never close. They just kind of were like looking around at different
people. Well, when you go in and you see the other person who's going in with you, and they look the opposite of you, you're like, oh.
Or you see the show and you go, that's what the tone was?
Oh,
whoops.
That's usually what happens,
that's
right?
My
is that they have very different vibes, and then
Yeah.
They kind of go with a different character.
Or there's also the commercial audition stories, because those are like...
That was my first kind of, not bomb, but I made a choice.
What'd you do?
Well, see, you come out to LA, this is not that bad, but you know, people are like, you got to make big choices. You got to make them remember you. There's tons of, when you come out, at least back in the day, when you would start acting, you'd hear all these legends of how actors booked auditions. And it was like, yeah, Danny DeVito, when he auditioned for Taxi, he walked into the casting room office and he said, this script sucks. You guys suck. Yeah. This is so stupid. And then he slams the door and leaves. And then he opens it up a second later and he's like, hey, was that good? And they were like, you booked it.
Oh, my God.
So people, that causes new actors to do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I had a commercial audition for Tostitos, the chips, the tortilla chips.
Yeah.
And I just always heard like, hey, make them remember you no matter what. And
no,
I was like,
all right.
So it's us. We're gaming and we're eating Tostitos and we're just gaming, have a good time. And I'm like, all right. And so I just start grabbing handfuls.
No.
And I'm just slamming them into my mouth. And I'm stuffing my mouth so much that eventually my fellow actor was like, this game sure is awesome. I go, and just cannot speak.
My mouth is full of chips.
And they go,
somebody needs to feed this actor.
And I got a call back. And so I was like, got to do the same thing I did because, like, it worked.
No.
So I got to do it again.
No.
And so in the callback, I stuffed my mouth again full of Tostitos. I look back and I'm like, commercial auditions, they don't give a shit about who you are, what you're doing.
No.
They look at your face and they're making a decision.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't need to do all that. So I do all that. And then the director, who I remember was Australian, was like, he was, I think, British or Australian, but he was just like, yeah, can we do that again? Can you not stuff your mouth with Tostitos? And I was like, yeah, for sure. I can for sure do that.
Yeah.
Then I didn't book it. But
honestly, though, that commercial auditions, that cracks me up. I feel like commercial agents or casting directors, once they know you really well, they're like, guys, lots of people have been shoving it in their mouth. It's disgusting, and we don't want to see it.
Yeah,
hey, guys, when you grab the piece of pizza, it's cardboard, okay? I don't want any bites on this, okay?
Yeah.
This is just this, okay?
Wait, I just remembered something else. I had another commercial audition back in the day. This is years later. I'm probably like 18. And it was like a lineup of guys. And they're going through, and they're just asking the question of like, outside of being an actor, what would be your dream job, right? And it's just genuine answers, right? This is not a comedy thing. It's just genuine stuff. And I'm sitting there trying to think, and I'm like, I don't know what to answer. I'm like racking my brain.
Captain of a ship? What's
a good answer? People are like, oh, probably like an architect. Someone's like, oh, I'd probably be like a basketball coach.
What did you say?
It comes down to me, and I truly, full improv moment, full speaking before I'm thinking. And I just go, probably a prophet. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, you walk around with a cane and robes and just kind of talk about what you believe.
I get your job. No.
Please tell me, did it not land?
Like, yeah, you don't know. It actually made people laugh pretty hard. And I was obviously like joking, like once I get into it.
Oh, God. And all the dudes in line were probably like, oh, fuck.
I should have said prophet.
Why did I say architect? Like an idiot.
I hear a guy say prophet. I go, that guy's a red flag. Run.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny, Shane. I did a commercial audition on Zoom. I want to say literally a year ago.
This was last week.
This just happened.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the waiting room, and the waiting room when you're like waiting to go in for the audition, and all the actors and the producers, everyone is in the waiting room waiting to go in or whatever. And I wanted to mute myself, but instead I muted them.
Okay. Hell yes, dude.
So I muted the room.
No.
So they couldn't get to me, but I'm on loud. I mute them. No. I mute them and have a phone call. And no one can contact me during the whole phone call.
No.
I am the whole time going, oh my God, I know. Bubba, and no one had my phone number. One girl
I'm in this
me.
Zoom call with these fucking losers.
And my friend, I finally, there was one girl I knew, and on Instagram, she DMs me. She goes, girl, you're not on mute. Girl, you're not on mute.
Oh,
I wasn't checking Instagram at the
nightmare,
time.
Nightmare, nightmare.
And at the end, they had to kick me out of the room because they couldn't get me to be quiet because no one could, everyone's going like this. Okay, and I'm on the phone, and she told me by the end I had to call this girl because I was like, I am mortified. You have to tell me what I said. I don't remember anything.
No,
on this call, you guys, and it was just the waiting room. Thank God. But I go like this. She goes, I remember you saying, yeah. I mean, I had a whole bottle of wine last night, and I don't know if I had the bottle or the bottle had me. You know what I mean?
No, God, no.
And then you unmuted the room and you said, is that what you guys are looking for?
Danny DeVito
and like,
taxi.
You booked it.
And I was like, oh, I got booted out of the session. And then I went back in and they were like, hey, Ange, you were not on mute.
Were you able to do your audition after that?
I don't even remember. No, it was, for Jersey Mike's. And I remember I was just like...
They probably loved it.
That's what Jersey Mike's is looking for.
I don't know if I had a bottle of wine or the bottle had me.
Not nearly as bad as that. I, on Zoom during like... Smosh, we had a meeting, and I named my name on Zoom Butt Idiot, just to be funny. I was like, yeah, Butt Idiot. I'm like, we can change our names, haha. And so it was Butt Idiot, and then I log out of Zoom.
And then
Goldberg's had a table read over Zoom, and I log in, and I'm Butt Idiot.
Wait, no joke.
I'm sitting there with just everyone. And luckily, Sam, of course, I notice it, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm trying to change it, and Sam Lerner goes, Butt Idiot.
Wait, this is so funny because this happened to me with Zoom appearances. There's a button for appearances, uh-huh. And you can change yourself. And I gave myself, on my podcast for fun, I gave myself pink eyebrows. And then I walked out of that meeting. And then the next meeting I went on was with Rhett Link for season one of Wonderhole.
Yeah! Oh, my God!
And then both of them go, oh, okay, Angela. But then I was like, oh, I don't know how to turn
those
off.
They're like, now, would you look at that?
And I go, I don't know how to turn those off. They go, okay. And I just had to do the reading, and I did. Oh.
Dude.
Now, I've never seen someone with eyebrows
quite
like that.
What's going on, Angela?
Now, let's talk about that.
Dude, I love that shit. I feel like those auditions, you just leave and you get in your car and you go, what the hell happened?
That's most, I'd say 50% at least, you're walking out of auditions going, what the fuck?
Especially commercials, still to this day, they're insane.
Yeah.
Still to this day, you do the one audition, and then what they ask you to do is crazy. I did one yesterday, and they literally were like, all right, you're going to be driving in a car, and then you're going to be sewing a shirt, and you're gonna be doing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, who has the time? Like, and I stopped caring. I did
one yesterday too, and I, boy, did I phone it in.
Oh,
boy, did I phone it in.
You just do the craziest thing.
I walked out of there, and she was like, great work. And I was like, but really?
But then remember when you have to like go in? I remember there was one like David Spade is going to be in this one and you are a pirate.
Ooh. You're a pirate and here's the parrot. Parrot's right over here.
Parrot's right over here.
Guys, if you don't look up for the eye line, I'm going to miss it.
I'm going to miss it. And they were like, and you have to learn this dance. You get to learn a full dance. And then you're with actors who like, oh, it's your first year. I get it. They are like, shh, shh, shh. Okay, all right, we got to do the dance. When do I put my left leg to my right leg, and when do I do the background spin? And you're like, I don't know. I'm sure it's gonna be fine.
That's the mark of any person who's been in their industry for a long time.
Yeah,
it's just they don't care.
I think it happened to me 2 days. It was a couple days ago. So it was for State Farm, and I showed up and I didn't read the logo, and there's everyone in red, and I went, fuck, I'm in white.
Now you're dressed for it.
Yeah, now I am. And then my friend goes like this. My friend comes out, and it's my turn. She goes, do you want my red shirt? And I went, no.
I
was like, I don't fucking need it.
No, I think
I'm with you on that.
The moment when I realized that they don't care at all was when I had a commercial or audition for Subway, and they wanted me to come in and play the saxophone. And I go in, and I learned Silent Whisper. For it.
On the saxophone?
On the saxophone.
George Michael?
And it's really fucking hard. And I just learned recently that it's edited, it's sped up because those notes aren't possible to hit on the saxophone. So I was, no wonder I was having a hard ass time with it. So this is forever ago when I still knew how to play saxophone. I played alto sax, and so I played a little bit, and then I booked it, and I was just a Subway worker just making sandwiches. I'm like, where's the saxophone? I did all that work, and all you cared about was like, this guy looks dumb enough. Like, throw him out there. Like, come on, dude. Man.
Wait, there is a commercial. It is listed on my IMDb that I did for Pizza Hut. It was my first ever big spot, and I had to just be this girl's friend. Because it was, oh, Becky, look at that slice. In that, it was like
a reference to Becky, look at that
butt.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the take they chose of mine, I was like, she's eating the pizza, and I'm like this.
What?
Because I remember they were like, we want Becky, you to be like obsessed with the pizza. And then each time I did it, I'd go further and further. And I'd be like, oh, whoa, look at that pizza.
So many thumbnails they got out of that.
I got added to like.
Dude, I will say when you do book the commercial and you see your spot, you're like, oh my God.
Oh, I can't watch anything.
I got to show you guys this Pizza Hut one.
I can't wait to see it.
You're going to love it. I'm going to send it to you. It's so good. I look not there. I look like, I'm like, look at that cheese. Look at that cheese.
Dude, commercials are insane. I remember one time my manager was like, whoa, they went really silly with your makeup. And I was like, oh, I actually don't think they did. I think that color just doesn't work on me. I did like a full commercial. And she was like, damn, they went really silly with your makeup. And I was like, yeah, bright red isn't a good look on me. Again, to this day, I'm like, I can't.
Are you Ronald McDonald? No, I'm the customer.
I look like a woman who put on a suit and then was like, yeah, baby.
This is so...
So many commercials like that. And then, of course, you send them to your family and they're like, great.
We're sending our fans on so many scavenger hunts right now. Just like, find these projects.
Oh, my God.
Or don't ever find them.
Don't look.
Or don't.
Leave it buried.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. Oh,
guys, we hardly got to any of our projects.
Oh, my God.
And I think we're out of time.
There are so many more. I didn't even
make it to So Random.
I didn't even touch Danger Force.
God, guys.
I didn't touch... Diable and Boit.
Well.
Where I play the mother.
Okay.
All right.
I guess we'll have to do this again.
I guess we'll have to do part two again because
I'll bring in some footage.
Please.
Let's fucking watch them. There is some.
I'm not bringing Aaron Brockovich.
We'll watch the original.
No. Wow, Angela, thank you so much for being here.
This was my so God. Cool.
That made me laugh so hard.
Hey, it's so fun being Smash Mouth.
You want to shim?
Yeah, jump
love
offense.
It. God. Thank you for watching. We'll see you later.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.